Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
But in Philippians, if you open your Bibles to Philippians 1, we're going to read Philippians 1:18, then Philippians 2:17, then Philippians 3:1. And then Philippians 4:4, basically the entire book. So in Philippians 1:18, if you're able to stand, I encourage you to stand with me to honor God's word. If you can't stand, stand in your heart. Amen? But in Philippians 1:18 says, but that doesn't matter. Whether their motives are false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached either way. So I rejoice. Come on, say with me, rejoice. And I will continue to rejoice. For I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. Then Philippians 2:17 says, but I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that with joy, to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy. Then Philippians 3:1. Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. Then Philippians 4:4 says, always be full of joy. Come on, say it with me, joy. Joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Father, thank you for your word. Speak to us this morning. I pray that your truth would ring through every heart, Lord, and push out every lie, every opposing thing that goes against the knowledge of God. Let it be cast down this morning, Lord, that your truth would come and set the captives free, Lord, and strengthen your people in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Now we're going to talk about joy this morning. You know, joy and laughter is contagious. A few years ago, there was a video that came out of this guy that he would go into a bus and he would just start laughing. And he would just start laughing. And some of you just like, you know, you're like, and then like, you know, even when I fake laughter, like, hallelujah. But in the bus, eventually everybody in the bus were belly laughing. They didn't even know why, because joy is contagious. Do you know that when you call somebody, if you smile when you call, you sound better? So, you know, if you have a sour face, if your face is always sour, like you're sucking on something sour all the time, just smile, you know, when you make a phone call, because if you're sour, that comes through too. Hallelujah. You know, Santa Claus, a fireman, and a priest walked into a bar. And the bartender says, what is this, a joke? Did you know that rejoicing is a choice that you make? Come on, say it with me, rejoicing is a choice. You know, when you're joyful, things change around you. Smile at somebody. Come on, look at your neighbor. Just smile at them. Look, did you get a smile back? You did. It's a choice. We began a series last week, Home for the Holidays. How many of you guys have a great Thanksgiving? Praise the Lord. I appreciate the non-roly-poly comment this time. Brother Dave said last service, you know, how many of you feel like a roly-poly? I'm like, why do you got to bring that up? Not that I feel like one. Hallelujah. But it was a great Thanksgiving. We had, you know, great service there in Eagle River in the morning. So many people just thankful. We had one lady testify that in her life that she's 60-something years old. And she said the last year and this year have been the best times of her life. Because prior to that, she had so many, you know, discouragement and had suffered so many things that she, in her own words, she said, I wish I could leave the earth for the holidays and not be around anybody. And they would do that, you know, oftentimes through alcohol and inebriation. But she says, you know, last year, I'm like, all right, Thanksgiving is coming around. And like, I didn't even feel it. I was with my family. We had great dinners. We had a great time. We had joy. Come on, share with me, joy. Hallelujah. And this year, the same thing. Because God is changing lives. He's transforming the pathway of people's lives. And when you trust in the Lord, He never fails you. Hallelujah. So it was a great Thanksgiving, and Pastor Karen, Pastor Daniel, they send their love to all of you, amen, all of us. We love you, Pastor, amen. And looking at our text, the Apostle Paul uses the word rejoice numerous times in the book of Philippians. It's throughout the book. Joy is one of the main things that he's talking about. He's saying, no, you suffering, rejoice. Praise the Lord. Can I get a better amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So in Philippians 1:18, there are those who are preaching the gospel out of envy and rivalry. Oh, man. And they're preaching out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing they can stir up trouble for the Apostle Paul while he was in prison. Now, where was he? Prison. Very good. Thank you for participating. He was in prison. And he's telling everybody, he's writing a letter, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. And there are people outside that were, their whole reason for preaching was in some way to make the Apostle Paul suffer. What a twisted way, what a twisted reason to serve God. Why are you serving God? Why are you here this morning? My wife made me come. Praise the Lord. We're going to hope to change that by the end of the service. Maybe you're here not by choice. But let me tell you, when you turn your hearts towards the Lord, He will do great things through your life. But here, these people were not. They were trying to make the Apostle Paul suffer more. And in Matthew 7 and 22 says, on judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. So the reason why you serve God matters. The reason why you're here matters. Amen? Because people can even do miracles and prophesy and get words of knowledge and still miss heaven. You don't want to do that. Hallelujah. And so these people here in the Apostle Paul time, they're trying to do whatever they can, even preach the gospel in order to cause him pain, to cause him to suffer. However, Paul sees through their attitude. The Bible says that the spiritual man can discern everything through spiritual eyes, and he himself is not discerned by anybody. So one of our prayers every morning is, Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Give us spiritual discernment into every situation so that we were not looking with the eyes of the flesh, but that we are seeing with the Spirit. Because when you see through the Spirit, when your child is throwing a tantrum, you will understand, or your teenager for that matter, you will see through that thing and understand, oh, they're actually in pain. But they don't know how to communicate, and you know how to address things through a different way. Hallelujah. Paul sees through their bad attitude. And notice how in his life, he's put God first. In Galatians 2:20, he says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. Jesus said, if you want to come after me, you must crucify yourself. Pick up your cross and then follow after me. And he says, I have crucified myself with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So he's rejoicing. He's rejoicing because he knows that God will work through their prayers and personally in his life through the Holy Spirit to turn things for good. That's one of the marks of the life of the believer, that when we pray, God answers our prayer. Do you know that God answers your prayer? That you can pray whatsoever you ask for in Jesus' name, He will do for you. Hallelujah. And then Philippians, and all things work together for good, and God can turn everything around in your life. What is something that is, you know, that you need turned around? God can do it. Is it your health? He can do it. Is it your finances? He can do it. What is it? He can do it. Hallelujah. Can I get a better amen? Anybody got faith out there? Praise the Lord. Philippians 2:17 says, he encourages them to do everything without complaining and arguing. Anybody here like to complain? Don't raise your hand. It's a rhetorical question. You're a complainer? Well, you know, last week we talked about how giving thanks is essential for us, or you're going to end up with a distorted view. If you're an ingrate, life is painful. And Romans 1 talks about that. How when, you know, people are ungrateful, they give no thanksgiving to God. That when you do that, you become the center of your universe. Anybody here? Don't raise your hand, please. Number one, you're the main thing in your life. Everything you do is about you, yourself, and thee. It's all about me. Didn't work out for me. I don't look good. I don't feel like it. I'm not where I want to be. YOLO. That's selfishness. And when you're an ingrate, you only think about yourself. You don't care about anybody else. So whatever you're going through, you have hardships. You don't really have hardships. It's just that you're not getting your way. So for you, it's hard. But in reality, it's really not hard. Here, Paul says not to complain. And the worst kind of complaining you can do is when you complain about God. When people begin to blame God for things he never did. 1 Corinthians 10:10 says, don't grumble as some of them did. And then were destroyed by the angel of death. That is specifically speaking of people complaining about God after he had done so much for them. He saved them. He brought them out of Egypt. And as they're going through miracle after miracle, there's a fire that column of fire that keeps them warm. There's shadows that keeps them cool. There's manna that falls from heaven. They're like, this food that comes from heaven. Literally, their shoes didn't wear out. How many of you guys here Wednesday night? Pastor Kirsten preached, great word. If you got teenagers, can you imagine if your teenager's shoes never wore out? Or if your kid's shoes grew with them? Like you got your baby some baby Jordans, and as they grew, it grew with them and never wore out? They'd have Jordans for life? My goodness. That's what happened for them. And they're like, whoa, we don't have this. We don't have meat. We don't have this. This guy, we don't have leeks. Are you serious? By the way, if you come to men's events, there will be a bowl of leeks there for you. Hallelujah. But they were complaining about God. And death came in the camp. How many times do people blame God? If God is so good, why does evil happen? Do you read your Bible, genius? Hallelujah. The Bible says every good and perfect thing comes from God, the Father of heavenly lights, in whom there is no shadow or variation in turning. So God is good, devil bad, right? The Bible says that the enemy has come, the liar has come, but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. So we need to put things into perspective that anything that is not life and life abundant does not come from God. My tire blew out. Why is the Lord tempting me? The Lord ain't tempting you. It's the devil. Then it ain't the devil. You haven't got a new tire in 5 years. Why is my engine sputtering? The Lord is trying to test me. No, he's not. He's the devil then. No, it's not. You don't change your oil. It's called preventive maintenance. It's nothing to do with God. Everything to do. Anything bad is not from God. Everything good is from God. Settle that in their heart. Because if you get that twisted, you're going to begin complaining about God when God is like, hey, I'm here to help you. And then you begin to complain. And when you complain, you are opening yourself up for demonic and dark things to come into your life and to wreak havoc and to empower you to be the same way you can get anointed by God to do the things of God. You can be anointed of darkness to do dark things. That's not the Apostle Paul. Hallelujah. He realizes his life is being poured out, or rather, he decides, I'm going to live my life poured out for the Lord. I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God. He's not complaining. He's saying, I have made a choice that I'm going to live for God. I'm going to live sacrificially in order that, he says, actually, in another part, that it's better for me. I would rather go and be with God, but that would be good for me. But it's more beneficial for you that I stay, because when I stay, I am teaching you. When I stay, I am leading you. When I stay, I'm setting you an example that you can follow of a life of a believer, a life of victory. So he's living his life not for himself. When he complains about, you know, he says, not complain, but when he says, you know, he boasts actually about not having, like, we didn't, all this stuff is because he rejected help from immature believers, that if he had received help from them, he's like, I will never give up my right to boast that I didn't take 1 cent from you. So you don't say that you supported me, that you took care of me, because you would throw it in my face because you're immature. But he made a conscious decision. Hallelujah. And he says, I've made a conscious decision. Even if I die, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to rejoice. Come on, say with me, rejoice. Hallelujah. You can get so focused on yourself, so focused on your problems, so focused on your disappointments that you're missing out that actually God's got a whole world of things that he wants to do in and through you. But you can't see it because you're focused on your disappointments. On your offenses, I'm offended. I got good news for you. If you mature, you'll be unoffendable. Hallelujah. So he says, I'm going to do it with joy. Come on, say with me, I'm going to do it with joy. Like living in Alaska. It's cold in the winter, baby. It's cold. Why are we complaining? It's icy. You know, it's like, you know, like doing the Elvis dance, trying to get to your car. That was me in the morning because I don't want to salt my driveway. You know, so it's like, you know. No, just kidding. It's Alaska. It's going to be cold. My neighbor who's a snow machine aficionado, he's got, you know, a cabin in Talkeetna and the river and the whole thing. You know, he's got a bobcat and one of those snow dumps. He's like, you know, clearing the snow. I'm like, hey, are you ready for Florida yet? And he just like look at me like, why would I go to Florida? I was like, oh, just kidding. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, you say something and you say it to the wrong person. It doesn't go over well. Praise the Lord. So we live here, let's rejoice. It's icy outside, hallelujah. Get some good tires, amen. Make a budget, prepare for that. Every year or every other year, put some new shoes on that vehicle, hallelujah, and change your oil. And the devil, it's amazing how the devil will stop bothering your stuff when you do that. But the Apostle Paul chooses, come on, say with me, choose. He chooses to rejoice over them, and that he desires them to rejoice with him, even though he's in prison. He's like, I'm in jail, but I rejoice with you. And I want you to rejoice with me. Don't be sad that I'm in prison. Be glad. Rejoice. Wow. He made a choice, and so can we. Joy is a choice. Joy is a choice. Having joy is a choice. Having joy is a choice. You can choose joy. Having joy is a choice. Teenagers, youth, having joy is a choice. Hallelujah. Stop listening to that emo music. Anybody who listens to emo music, praise God. Philippians 3:1. He again reminds us to rejoice in the Lord. Their rejoicing is a protection for them. When you rejoice, you're keeping your heart tender to the things of God. You see, when you complain, you are blaming God for things he never done. You're blaming others. You're blaming your spouse. You're blaming your kids. You're blaming the government. You're blaming the, now you got a spider hole. You're digging a spider hole. When you rejoice, you don't dig a spider hole. Hallelujah. James 1:2 says, dear brothers and sisters, when trouble comes your way, consider it an opportunity to rejoice. Philippians 4:4, again, he commands them to rejoice in spite of the divisions in the church. Rejoicing is the attitude we should have in light of how soon Jesus is coming. Do you know that Jesus is coming soon? That he's going to come in. The Bible says that he's going to, that those who love him, that the church is going to be caught up in the heavenly places. We're going to be transformed into our heavenly bodies in a blinking of an eye. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be funny if we got to heaven and everybody was like a roly-poly? Just saying. The heavenly body. Hey, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. My man, Pastor Vince. Your rejoicing is the attitude you should have because Jesus is coming soon. Ever notice people when they get bad news, like you have one day to live or you have 6 months to live, they change their entire lives to focus on things that are most important. What if we just live that way? Rejoicing in the Lord. Hallelujah. So what we learn from these texts is, one, we can rejoice no matter what is happening to us because our rejoicing is in the Lord. Hallelujah. So, yeah, our rejoicing is in the Lord. Hallelujah. Some of you are like, all right, what's the catchphrase? Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes everything. Come on, say with me, everything. To work together for the good of those who love God. So if you don't love God, this doesn't apply to you. But if you love God, he causes everything to turn for good in your life. Hallelujah. Those who love God and are called according to the purpose, to his purpose for them. So when you're called by God and you're walking out in the purpose of God, you love God, everything in your life turns around for good. That's why you can rejoice. Hallelujah. You got a problem? Praise the Lord. Some more experience. I want to get some more experience. God is going to turn all these things for good. In your body, in your health, in your finances, in your family, you are a fighter. If you're a Christian, you are a fighter. You're not a weak Ned Flanders Christian. Hallelujah. You're a fighter. Some of you, you feel like, man, if I become a Christian, then I got to be like, I got to be tame. No, you don't. Hallelujah. We need that fire. You need that fire to fight for what God. Hallelujah. Not with flesh and blood. Our weapons are not carnal. Our war is not against flesh and blood. Ma'am, your husband ain't the problem. Sir, your wife ain't the problem. Your kids ain't the problem. Your daddy ain't the problem. Your mama ain't the problem. No, we have enemies that are unseen. The devil is a liar. And the Bible says in Ephesians that we are to extinguish the fiery darts of the enemy that he sends our way. Why, by what? Using the shield of faith. The shield of faith that erases those things. The devil, meaning he's throwing thoughts at you. He's throwing these darts at you that he wants to get your thoughts spooling and going all kinds of places and all kinds of situations and cause you to enter into opposition to what God wants to do in your life. I'm going to kill these things. Number two. God causes all things to turn around for good. Psalm 91:7, though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. They will not touch you. Hallelujah. That's the promise of God, that he's going to bless you. But in order for him to bless you, you have to walk into the blessing. It is by faith. You have to enter in. You have to choose to rejoice. You have to choose to trust the Lord. How do you know to trust the Lord? You got joy. You got joy in the storm. Because you got the power to cancel the storm. You got the power to cancel. Last service, this service, there's at least one person here that we prayed for you and you were brought back to life. At least one person. Those in Eagle River, where's the camera at? Those in Eagle River, all of you. I look at the people, I'm like, you know, some of you will not be here, including myself. I will not be here had God not intervened in my life. And let me tell you, he has turned all things from good. He will take the man from the miry clay who has nothing, who got no hope, got no future, and he'll sit him among with nobles. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Joy is being part of a Christian. God answers our prayer, so we should be joyful. You know that God will answer your prayer? God never answered my prayer. That's because you're praying for God to kill your husband. That's not according to God's will. You're praying for God to take out the president. He's not going to answer that prayer. You're praying for God for whatever. If it's not according to his will, he's not going to answer it. If it is, he will. Listen to this in John 14, 13. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Anything that you ask in Jesus' name, according to his will, he will do it. So rejoice. That should be a reason for you to be like, oh my goodness, what? Yes, I said, anything you pray in Jesus' name, according to his name, he will do for you. You mean he'll heal me? Yes. You mean he'll help me with my finances? Yes. Yes. The promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. Now, if you're not in Christ, don't be trying to claim that scripture. The only prayer that goes unanswered is the prayer you never prayed. I will never pray for the miracle you need like you can pray for the miracle you need. You can be specific. You can be persistent. Hallelujah. And yes, we pray for you. Yes, we believe with you. Yes, we agree in prayer for you, but you must pray yourself. Hallelujah. What are you believing Jesus to do for you? We always ask you when you come up, what do you believe in Jesus to do for you? It's not for you to like just spill out everything you're going for. Well, you know, when I was, no. What are you believing Jesus to do for you? I need breakthrough in my marriage. I need breakthrough in my life. If you're having trouble in your marriage, pray for your husband. Pray for your wife. I love it when I pray for my wife. Jesus, get her, Jesus. Get her, Jesus. Hallelujah. I married an amazing woman, Minister Rosie. Hallelujah. She's a great woman. She's a blessing to me. She's a blessing to my family. She's a powerhouse. And when I pray, Lord, get her, God is like, you're wrong. I'm like, oh, man. He fixes all things. And when she prays for me, get him, Jesus. Get him, Jesus. The Lord is like, you know, serve him. What? I know. Praise the Lord. I don't even have to say it. I'm right. The Lord will say it. Praise the Lord. That's why you got to pray. You're a praying husband and a praying wife. You see miracles happen. Amen? And then you have tenderness in your heart towards one another. Because when God reveals you things, there's a depth of revelation. It goes into your heart and it softens you. Glory to God. What do you believe in Jesus to do for you? Joy is the fruit of the Holy Spirit produces in our lives by his working in us. As you submit yourself to God, God will work in you. Hallelujah. We can rejoice because the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead abides on the inside of us and will quicken our mortal bodies. What does that mean? Hallelujah. That God will give you strength in your physical body. My mother, you know, has had this rare blood pressure thing. It's like 1 in 5,000 people have it her whole life. My sister and I, you know, we both worked in healthcare for many years, so it wasn't a mistake when we took her blood pressure, and it was 240 over 180. That's like stroke city. And so many people who have high blood pressure, they end up with different things that happen in their life. Do you know that my mother has none of the comorbidities of high blood pressure? None. Not one. No neuropathy, no nothing, no nothing. You know why? Because my mother is a woman of faith and she's a woman of prayer. And so many times, I remember as when I lived at home, as a kid, I would hear her pray. I reject this blood pressure. I declare healing over myself. The devil is a liar. And she would stand against those things. Why is that? Because the Bible says that the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead abides on the inside of me and will quicken our mortal bodies. So if you go around declaring like, oh, yeah, when I'm turned this age, I'm going to need glasses. You're going to need glasses when you turn that age. Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth, there was a young a youth pastor he knew that used to say, I'm going to die like Jesus when I'm 33. And it's like, stop saying that. I'm going to die like Jesus when I'm 33. Thinking it's funny. Homeboy died when he was 33. The Bible says that life and death is in the power of your tongue. So over your business, declare blessing. Oh, I just got a small business. And stop trying to be fake humble. You know what fake humble is? It's like, you know, instead of like testifying about the goodness of God, I'm not trying to be anybody. Be somebody for crying out loud. Yeah, I got it. God blessed me. I'm blessed. What you need? Can get it for you. It's small business. Ain't nobody need to know that. It's a growing business. Hallelujah. And God is going to bless you. Speak life. Hallelujah. My poor husband. No wonder you're poor. You're married to him. Poor thing. Stop it. Rejoice. Hallelujah. Because God is good. Now God's speaking to us. In order to have a joyful family, a joyful home, you personally must be joyful. Because you can be thinking, no, this is a terrible time. It's just you. Everybody else is having joy. Your whole family, the rest of your family will be rejoicing. And you may be the only one not rejoicing. And it's not them. Anybody been in that boat? Have you been like, oh, this is such a sad time. And everybody's like, what? You must personally have joy if your family is going to have joy. Because joy is contagious. We can rejoice because the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead abides on the inside of us. So choose joy this season. Make a constant decision that I'm going to have joy. Come on, say with me, I'm going to have joy. Can you come and play, please? And I'm going to give you a secret. I encourage you to go home and read the entire book of Philippians. Listen to it. Memorize it. Because it has some key parts in it, beginning in chapter, the whole thing, but in chapter 3, that is crucial for you to having joy all the days of your life. And it begins this way. Hallelujah. In Philippians 3 and verse 12, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. Do you know that when you got saved, God saved you so that you would be perfect? And when people say, you know, nobody's perfect, what they're actually saying is, I'm not going to change. I don't care to change. I'm not going to put any effort into changing. So I'm just letting you know, you can expect nothing to change because nobody's perfect. We've been saved by Jesus to walk in perfection. And the Apostle Paul says, I haven't attained it. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. Verse 13, but I focus on this one thing. What are you focused on? What have you set before your eyes to focus on? What is the thing that has captured your, enamored you, that you see all the time in your thinking? What is the picture that you see of yourself? What are you focused on? Do you see the goodness of God? Do you see the hand of God in your life? Do you see the blessings of God in your life? Or do you see or replaying the pain over and over and over again? Strumming my pain with the finger. No. That's not the kind of songs that Christians listen to. But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past. Come on, say it with me, forgetting the past. And looking forward to what lies ahead. It's impossible for you to walk in healing and carrying your arthritis, your diabetes, your whatever it is. It's impossible to walk in healing and carrying it with you. And like again, like my mother, if you take her blood pressure, it's going to be high. She's not facing any of those, the comorbidities or the results of high blood pressure in her life. So you may, you know, even if you have something that still hasn't been fully, you don't have to claim all of the side effects. Thank you, side effects. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Looking to what lies ahead, I press on to reach. Come on, say with me, press on. To reach the end of a race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. God is calling you, come. And at the calling of God comes the empowerment. At the calling of God comes the anointing for you to fulfill those things. So stop saying, I'm not perfect, but I will seek, forgetting the things that lay behind. Some of you, your joy is right in front of you, but you're still looking backwards. Forgetting those things that lay behind. You turn around and you begin to press on. Whatever holds you back, you press on. You ever walk in a windstorm? Yeah, you got to press into it. Isn't it fun? It is. If it's not like carrying you away. You press on. For what? For the prize. Not just to survive. Not just to survive. Not even just to thrive, but for the reward and the prize that God has for you. What do I get to serve for serving Jesus? A reward. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. The Bible says, you press on. If you don't have joy in your life, you must press on. I was speaking with somebody, praying with them here in this very altar. And they're saying, man, the things that I've had to overcome, they're so hard. And I've lived my life so long in such a just messed up way. And I'm like, but look at you now. Look where you've come. Don't stop moving forward. Don't shrink back. Don't go backwards. Keep on pressing forward. There's only one way, and that's forward. There's only one way, and that's up. But it's so different from what I remembered. Forget those things. Set your eyes on Jesus, the beginner and the finisher of the faith. And take note and say, listen, God has done great things in my life. I am blessed. Hallelujah. Look for what God is doing and rejoice. That's what you need to focus on what God has done. God healed my marriage. God healed my heart. God healed my wife. God healed my children. God set us free. Hallelujah. My kids are amazing children that love God, that serve God. They want to be in church all the time. Not because we make them, not because we force them, but because they love God with all their hearts. And then they love people. Look for what God is doing. What has God done in your life? You stubbed your toe. It hurts. Praise God. At least it wasn't all five toes. Praise God. He got a corner stand to kick them in. Hallelujah. That's my favorite corner stand. You can rejoice because the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead abides on the inside of us and quickens our mortal body. Look for what God is doing and rejoice in that. Then be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, baptism, it's like, wow, that's for some. No. You don't know what you're talking about. When you see baptism, when Jesus was baptized, when he came out of the water, what happened? The Spirit of God came upon him. Hallelujah. That is a sign to us that every person that is baptized in water can also be baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you get rid of that old theology or false understanding of the Word of God. An excuse for not seeking the greater things of God. You will be filled. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:26 says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. I don't have words to say. Pray in the Holy Ghost. And you begin to pray, and God will begin to give you the answer. He gives you the answer in your heart. He gives you peace. Hallelujah. And he begins to move and do great things in and through you. You can rejoice. Some of you have never had a holiday season with joy. That changes today in Jesus' name. You're going to have the joy of the Lord all the rest of your life, in every area of your life. Philippians 4 says, and now, my dearest brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true. So first, you must press on. Press on for what God saved you for. What did Jesus save you to? Like, I don't know. Find out. Come to early morning prayer. Read your Bible. Spend time in the presence of God. He speaks to you. He will lead you. He will guide you. In all truth, the Bible says, you press on. And then he says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. What is your thinking like? What have you thought about? What do you think about most of the time? Most people don't think about what they're thinking. They just think, well, she must hate me. Well, why do you hate me? Like, calm down there. Calm down, Susan. What are you thinking about? Can you believe how they looked at me? Did they even see you? How many times did that happen? It happens all the time. Keep your thoughts on what is right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. You want to be full of joy? Think about those things. Some of you need to turn off your talk radio show. You need to take your talk radio show that you listen to and burn it. Some of your podcasts that you listen to, burn it.
Well, I was saying, you know, when, you know, John Jones or whoever that guy is, Austin Jones, not Pastor Austin Jones, love you, my brother. The other Jones.
What's his name?
Alex Jones.
Yeah, put some of that away. You're too nuts already. You're too unproductive already to be listening to other stuff. And just listen to the word of God. It'll clean you out. Focus on it. Keep putting into practice. Keep putting into what?
Practice.
Keep putting into practice. All you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. There's action to take, like in the offering. God has done so much for you. You give. You live a life of generosity because that's what God saved you for, to be generous on every occasion. That's why he blesses us, to be generous on every occasion. So you give and you serve. And you live to please the Lord. And you watch what you think. You take your thoughts captive. It doesn't happen by accident. So I want to encourage you this morning that the joy of the Lord will strengthen you. That you can rejoice in.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. And may God's face shine upon you.